You're listening to the North Canton Chapel Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. The North Canton Chapel exists to make much of Jesus every day to everyone. It's our prayer that this podcast will equip you to do just that. We believe that there's nothing like the church united together in gospel community. We'd love if you'd stop in and say hello in person if you're in our neighborhood. Our gathering times are at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Thank you again for joining us today. Let's listen in.
So, I know when we plan these series, we go through a book, you know, and it's very sequential, but we're not going to talk about 1 Timothy today. So if you are excited about the next couple of verses, just sit tight. We'll get there next week. I don't want to talk about 1 Timothy today, and I honestly don't think that you need me to talk about 1 Timothy today. Here's the story. So last weekend, I was camping Saturday and Sunday. I was in my little space out in the woods in Pennsylvania where I go in this like little valley where there's this little creek that's filled with little brook trout, which are the noblest of all of God's creatures. And there's no cell signal in this little valley, which I kind of love. You just kind of disappear for a little bit. And Sunday afternoon, you know, I was coming up, making my way back home, and where the camp road connects to the state highway, there's this stop sign. And it's at that stop sign that I reconnect to cell signal. I hate that stop sign, by the way, because every time I go, I come up, and then all my notifications on my phone start dinging. You know, this happens every time. That stop sign and I have a love-hate relationship. But anyway, Sunday afternoon, I come up, and then phone's sitting here on the dashboard of my truck, and it's like, bloop, 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 bloop. All the little things start dinging. And, you know, I looked at, you know, text messages I had missed and emails that had come in. There was, like, an offer from something I was watching on eBay that had already expired. I'm like, eh. And then I saw the news, and I'm going, oh, wow, holy smokes. What a day. What a weekend. And, you know, honestly, it kind of rattled me a little bit, and maybe it did you too, you know, that you saw everything that's happening in our world, an attempted assassination, and the resulting feeling, I think, of fear and chaos and confusion. And so I had about a three-hour drive back just to pray and to think, and my mind went to Psalm 46, and so that's where we're going to be today. We're going to do something different. We're going to be in Psalm 46, and I'm going to speak for a little bit, and then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to speak for a little bit, and then we're going to pray, then I'm going to speak for a little bit, and then we're going to pray. And that's how our morning is going to go, okay? It'll be on the screens behind me, but if you have a hard copy of God's Word, go ahead and turn there, and if you need one on your phone, get your phone out. You might need it later for something anyway. Psalm 46. I'm just going to read it, and then we'll get through this. So, says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah, which, by the way, is a Hebrew word that means just sit still for a minute and think about what you just said. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come. Behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And then the verse that we all love, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. So this morning I want to share three things I love about this psalm. I think a lot of times the goal of the church in times like we are living in is really not to just tell you what you should do or what you should think. I think the role of God's word and the role of the church is to stand in the middle of all of it and just go, God. First thing I love about this psalm, I love how confident this psalm is. I tried to emphasize that as I read it, but you saw it, right? Verse 1, God is a refuge and strength. We will not fear. Verse 2, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God will help her. The Lord of hosts is with. This is like endless cascade, this like declarative, emphatic statements about who God is, what he's done, what he is doing, and what he can do. Now, why is that level of confidence so important for us? Because when I pull up to that stop sign and notifications going off on my phone, I felt the same thing that you felt probably for the last several years. Like, I don't know what to believe. Like, can I trust this? Or is this news source the right one? Or is that the right one? Are these guys the good guys, the bad guys? Is this a conspiracy or not a conspiracy? Like, am I really ready to handle whatever's about to happen? And doesn't that whole thing feel just like this whirlwind of anticipatory confusion? Like, you feel that. You're just like caught in an emotional blender and you go, well, what do I do? So I want to be really direct. Please hear me. You are not created to live with that level of uncertainty. We all feel that, and everything in this world is so uncertain. But beyond the uncertain, there is a beauty that I want us to point, I want to point us towards. So I really want to plead with you this morning. Please do not set your precious heart on uncertain realities. I feel like what I really just want to tell you this morning is that God is the only source of certainty anywhere, ever. You are created for the kind of certainty that transcends worldly events. And I want us to be the kind of people, I want to be the kind of person that can live in the full confidence of this psalm and say, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at the swelling. Like those four seismic, cataclysmic events, the heaving of the earth that the author gives us in this one. These are just realities beyond his own control, right? Realities over which he realizes he can exercise no influence, realities about which he can do nothing except just react. Do you ever feel that way? Like that your only option in the world is just to react to everything outside of your control? Gosh, I do. And in the midst of the spiritual seasickness, like the pitching and the tossing of the broken world, what does God offer? Confidence. What I want for you this morning more than anything, fix your hope on God. He created you with a hunger for certainty that can neither be satisfied by anything in this world, nor should it be upset by anything in this world. Fix your hope on him and him alone. Now that sounds really preachy. So what does it mean? I feel the freedom and probably even the obligation to be very direct with you. We do not have a political problem that can be solved by political means. We do not have a legislative problem that can be solved by legislative means. We do not have an economic problem that can be solved by economic means. We have a spiritual problem that can only ever be solved through supernatural means. The crux of our issue is that mankind has calloused consciences and hard hearts and shackled souls that need to be softened by and freed by a loving God who sent his son. This is the gospel, and it is the hope of the world. The ability to have confidence amidst the chaos is achieved by Christ's work on a cross. That's where we go to find confidence and certainty and stability in the midst of a world gone crazy. And it's why the author of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Translation, he alone is that refuge and strength and very present help in times of trouble that remains strong in the midst of an upheaving and broken world. So, we're going to go to prayer in just a minute, and we're going to spend at least 3 minutes there. I want to draw you back to a point in this text to help frame this moment of prayer together. I want to name something really specific and imagine how you might connect with it. Four times the author says, though, in verses 2 through 3. Did you catch it? Where he says, though, we're not going to fear because of what God is. God is a refuge and strength, the present help in trouble. We will not fear, even though. And then he goes, the earth gives way, the mountains be moved, its waters roar in foam, and though the mountains tremble at its swelling. What's he doing when he's doing that? Hear me. He's naming the chaos. He's looking at the chaos square in the eye, and he's imagining the worst case scenario, and he looks at it and he goes, even though this, even though this, even though this would happen, God is. And so here's what I have to ask you is, what is your though? How would you complete that? What is your even though this morning? Even though this could happen, what is that for you? What is the worst thing that could happen that would shake your life so much that it would upset your faith? How would you say that? For him, he names these like cataclysmic, seismic events, like earth moving and waters churning. Why? Because that's what chaos feels like, right? So what is your though? Even though what? Even though spouse would leave, even though your kids would disown you, even though what? Even though you lose your job, even though what? God is. So that's where we're going to go this morning. I want to do it right now. I want you to name your though, put it out there to God, and in the quietness of your heart, we're going to have a little bit of music playing in the background. Name your though, and then take it to God and say, even though, God, you are. And then I'm going to come back in 3 minutes or so, and we'll take another look at this psalm. So let's go to prayer. I love how confident God's word is about God. I love that God never breaks a promise. He's never told a lie. Everything he has said has happened and will happen. No doubt about it. I also love how communal this psalm is. And yes, these are all going to start with the letter C. I love how confident this psalm is. I also love how communal this psalm is. Do you notice how many plural pronouns there are in this thing? Where he says, God is our refuge and strength. We will not fear. And then at the very end, he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's only a couple of first-person pronouns, no I's or me's, unless it's God who's doing the speaking. Everything else is we and us. It's an interesting thing to notice. And then that invitation in verse 8. I love verse 8, where he says, come, come, behold the works of the Lord. That's a second-person word. It's a verb. It's a Hebrew word. It means halach, which basically means, you guys got to come see this. It's this ancient version of somebody putting their arm around you and going, look, there's something happening over here that you need to come see. Come check this out. That's what halach means. Come, come see, come see. There's this communal sense of this bit. And did you catch, if you've got a hard copy of God's word, you may have noticed this, the little superscription at the very top, it says, to the choir master. Now, choir master, that's like an ancient version of Micah. Choir, like the guy that's leading worship in Israel, right? So why would you send a piece of poetry to a choir master? Why would you do that? So that the gathered people can sing it. This psalm was sung together in gathered worship in Israel. So why is the communal nature of this psalm so important? I'm an introvert by nature, okay? I'm like kind of right on the line. But I skew more toward introversion, and maybe you might be the same. What that means is I'm pretty comfortable with my own thoughts, okay? I like things up here most of the time. That means I like my books, I like my recliner, I like my poetry, I like my trout stream, I like my campsite. I love you, but I need those things too, right? Here's the problem, though, with me, and if you're an introvert, you may get this, that, like, I can stay in those places longer than I should, and I can get lost out there sometimes when it's not good for me. And before long, I kind of become like this, my own island of self-convinced understanding. Any other introverts? You don't have to raise. And you're not going to raise your hand anyway. You're an introvert. You're like, no. I'm not doing anything. Here's the thing, though. When I am watching a world go crazy, do you know what the last thing I need is? More me. What I need is I need what God is doing out there in your life. I need, the old word is testimony. I need witness. And what is the church if not the gathered people giving witness to God's activity? I hope that's why you're here. We are here to become communally convinced that God is doing something and that that something that he is doing is ultimately good and will lead for his glory. We are here to become communally convinced. Community is where I hear stories of what God has done, right? In the past. Oh, let's look what he did over here. Don't forget what he did. Community is where we hear stories of what God is doing. Like, I don't know what this means, but oh, God's doing something. Community is where I go to get fresh imagination for what God can do. And so God gives us the good gift of community, not just so that we'll remember we're not alone, as nice as that is, but to remind us that he is working in all of these ways, in all of these places, in all of these lives. And that's the whole point of church, right? Like, we are here to become communally convinced that God is, in fact, at work. Hence, all of this, God is our refuge and strength. This is like us talking to each other. We will not fear, as if to say, right, right? This is true, isn't it? We got to talk this way to each other. That's why we need these psalms. When I hear from you, like, what God is doing, or when I start to hear you pray about what God can do, what you want him to do, And you pray with each other in the context of just the closeness of a conversation. And you say, God, could you do this? Could you please do this? God, thank you for doing that. Can you do this, please? You understand what that is that's inviting God in the midst of something that seems very chaotic, doesn't it? But saying, God, you can do this. We believe that you can do this, God. You can act. You can straighten things out. You can make sense. You can bring peace. The communal nature of this psalm, and really so much of Scripture, I think is important because God is best enjoyed when God is shared. So here's how I want us to pray. We're going to get into this kind of second movement of prayer. First off, I want you to think if there's somebody that you need to encourage. Is there somebody right now that you know in your life that they're really caught up in the tailspin and they're really having a hard time and they're just going through a rough patch? Is there somebody that comes to your mind that you could put your arm around them and go, hey, come behold the works of the Lord. Look at what God is doing. Hey, I just want to show you what God is doing. And we're going to get really practical about this one. If somebody just came into your mind and you need to send them a text, pull out your phone and text them right now. Don't wait till you get home because you're going to forget. Don't wait till you get in your car because that's unsafe. Do it right here. Like text in church. It's totally fine. Take the next 3 minutes and text a person and go, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you today. You're going to get through this. Stay focused on Christ. Maybe there's somebody that you need to, maybe somebody who's done that for you, who has put their arm around you and encouraged you. And maybe the text that you could send is, hey, just thanks for that word the other day. That was really meaningful to me. Maybe there's somebody that you've lost touch with, though, too. Maybe that's another way of looking at this, that there's a relationship that has soured or there's brokenness there. And maybe this is your opportunity to reach out and go, hey, I feel really distant from you and I'm really sorry. I love a conversation sometime. Can we have a cup of coffee? And if none of those things happen right now in your mind, that's okay. I just want you to pray. And so as we spend these next 3 minutes, think about the communal nature of this psalm and how God is best enjoyed when God is shared. And then I'll come back up and we'll finish up. Let's pray. So good to know that we need each other. I don't want to ever forget that one. There is no such thing as a lone wolf Christian. That's why we have the gift of the church. Confidence, communal, and then this last one I'll give us. I love how contrasting this psalm is. Contrasting. And there's that verse in there that we all love. It's verse 10. Be still, right? Be still and what? Be still and know that I'm God. Now, I love that verse, and you love that verse, and I know why we love that verse, but I don't think we really understand that verse, okay? Here's why. I've seen this poster, or like 1,001 variations of this poster, and if you have this poster, please don't get mad at me. It's like a poster or a screensaver or a wallpaper or a something, and it says at the bottom, like, be still and know that I am God. And it's like great script, you know? And it's this picture of like this serene mountain lake with like pine trees and like snow-capped mountains and like this little loon that like wordless or wavelessly moves across the water, right? And like there's Enya playing in the background or something. And you know what I'm talking about. And we think, like we see that, and then we go, well, if I can get there, if I can have that, if that's what I need, because if I can have that, then I can have peace. That's what we think. And maybe yours isn't the mountain. Maybe yours is like Mandy and it's a picture of the beach, right? It's this enduring source of conflict in our marriage. I'll just be vulnerable with you. I am a cabin in the mountain person and Mandy is a beach person. And so like we've moved to Ohio where we get neither. No, so, but whatever your version of paradise is, right? We have this thing in our head where we retreat and then we go, well, if I can get there, then I can have peace. That's great and all, except for the Enya bit. But that's not what this is. That is not what this psalm is. That word, be still, and know that I am God. I don't think God whispers that. I think he shouts it. How do I know? Because of everything that's around it. There's absolutely nothing quiet in this psalm. This is a violent psalm. You caught that, right? Like you've got all this like earthquake imagery, this war stuff going on. Like this seems like it's almost apocalyptic. And I don't mean to get like over the top, but I feel like he's copy-pasting from our headlines or from our social news feeds. I'm like, I know exactly how you're feeling here, dude. You've got the earth giving way, mountains falling into the heart of the sea. Foaming waters, roaring oceans, raging nations, tottering kingdoms. That's the context of the word be still. There's not a hint of sentimentality in that word. There is not a whiff of spiritual cliche. This is God triumphant, stepping into the middle of the war zone, smoke still falling, haze still fading, dust filtering out a half-hidden sun, and then he looks at us and he goes, be still. The New American Standard translates it, cease striving. If you had to popify it, it could be give up. And if it's not too delicate or sensitive of an image, if you want to contextualize verse 9 for 2024, where he says, he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. If you have to contextualize that for today, this is God taking an AR-15, breaking it across his knee, dropping it in the dust, wiping his hands, and then saying, now be still. Stop. And in that stillness, you will know that I am God. So how do you find that stillness? Because that's the catch. Like, sounds great, God. How do I get there? Well, you don't get there by denial, like burying your head in the sand and going, I don't want to talk about this. I'm just going to turn the news off. I'm going to pretend like it doesn't exist. I'm just going to, It's not denial. You can't go to denial. That doesn't work. You also can't downplay it, which I think a lot of us as Christians, we tend to do. We tend to go, well, you know, God works all things together for good. Well, it's not that bad. No, it is bad. Of course he's working things for good. But no, the world is a sinful, dark, horrible place, and you don't get to downplay it. So if you can't do denial and you can't do downplaying, what do? Deepening. You deepen your understanding of these things. Well, what does that mean? God is not a sentimental God. God is a sovereign God. And in his sovereignty, he does not pull us away from suffering. He preserves us through suffering. Anybody can be still on the lake or the beach. Anybody can be still there. Do you know where stillness is not expected? In the middle of all the chaos. But that's what life is, isn't it? I don't mean to be like Debbie Downer here, and I don't like playing the part of the realist. I am much happier playing the part of the romantic idealist. Believe me, most of you know that. But life's not a vacation. What did we expect? We're living on earth, and as long as our earth is saturated by sin and run by sinners, which includes all of us, the bullets are going to fly and the bombs are going to drop, and we're all going to get hit by shrapnel at some point or another. Political climate aside, I'm not just talking about that. So you know what I'm talking about. I feel like everybody in this room and everybody watching online, you came in here carrying something on your back. We've all got this nameless burden, this inner ache, this sense of like, oh, this should not be this way. And my word for you is, please listen to that, because that's actually evidence that you were created for something more. No, it should not be this way. That's a good feeling. For some of you, it's medical stuff. For some, it's legal stuff. For some, it's family stuff. I had a friend who lost his son this last week. Like, some of the battles that we fear are literal, with literal guns. Most of the battles, though, that we fear are figurative, but no less painful or threatening. And the word of God that you need to hear this morning is God brings peace. How? Great question. Glad you asked. Centuries after this psalm was written, Jesus said this in John 14. He said, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world brings peace. Therefore, don't let your hearts be troubled and do not fear." Sounds great. What's he mean? The Christian finds perfect peace because of God's perfect provision of a perfect Savior. There is only one question that you need to have an answer for this morning, and here it is. Do you know Jesus? I didn't say, are you a Christian and you go to church and are you trying to make, that's not what I'm talking about. Do you have an abiding relationship with the risen Lord? If you don't have abiding peace in your heart, let me urge you, it could be because you are still looking for the world to give you something that only Christ can offer you, which is forgiveness. Your greatest need is a restored relationship with your Heavenly Father, and the only way you get that is through trusting in Christ alone. And that brings profound peace, so that no matter what the world throws at you, you get to say, I get to go to glory. I get to meet my Savior. And if you don't know him, gosh, I would totally understand why we would get rattled and stay rattled and then get angry and then get bitter and then get cynical and then get closed off. And God does not want that for you. He has said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the offer of Christ. So, this last little movement of prayer, I want us to pray for our country. And I don't care what side of the political aisle you are on, or if you don't have a home on the political aisle. I want you to pray for our country. If our country loses its way, let it not be for the prayerlessness of God's people. We will pray. And then I want you to pray for peace. I want you to pray for the kind of peace that only Jesus can offer. Yes, pray for peace out there, but pray that the lost would be saved. Let's pray. Thank you for letting me lead you in that way this morning. What we want to do is the song that we kind of chose to close out here today. There's actually two kind of right in front and back of each other. I asked Micah kind of earlier this week. I said, hey, I think I know where we need to go on Sunday. Could we sing it as well? And Micah's like, yeah, let's sing it as well. This is an example of gospeling our own hearts, which means like, hey, we just looked at God's word and we found some truth there. And now we need to declare it in a communal corporate sense. And so when we say it is well with my soul, this is me saying, yes, it is. Yes, it absolutely is. And if you know Christ, you can say that down to your shoes with like no half-heartedness. It's not like, oh, well, I would like it for be well with my soul. I would like it if that were true, but it's not. And in this moment, if that's you and you're going, gosh, I do wrestle with this, that's okay. Tell that to the Lord. Say, God, I'm my knees are shaking right now. I'm a little bit wigged out. You can say that to him, and because he is a father who cares for his children, he would love to come alongside you and to bring that strength that you don't have in this moment.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the North Canton Chapel Podcast. If this ministry has blessed you in any way, please share this episode with your friends or spread the word on social media. If you subscribe and leave a 5-star review, it goes a long way to helping us make much of Jesus every day to everyone who hears these podcast episodes. You can also donate to this ministry at ncchapel.com/give. Thanks again for joining us. May you go out into your places and spaces, making much of Jesus every day to everyone.